Jai Nityananda,
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda,
Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda,
Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda,
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda,
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda,
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda,
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda,
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda,
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda,
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda,
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Yes, give up the verse there. You got the verse, okay, so today is Sunday, we're going to read from Sri Sri Nitai Mai Bhochandra Today's Sunday, we're going to read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adi Leela, Chapter 16, Pastimes of Childhood and Youth. On the borders, verse 31, although we actually begin with verse 26. So let me just read verse 26 and the other verses up to 31, then we'll read 31 together. Vrindavana dasa iha kariya chen vistara sputa nahi kari dosha gunira vichara. Vrindavandas Thakur has previously elaborately described this. That which is clear need not be scrutinized for qualities and faults. This means the story, it appears, of meeting Keshava Kashmiri and marrying Vishnupriya. So he's not going to go into either of these events at great length, although he's actually going to discuss the meeting with Keshav Kashmiri over a number of verses. Se ansha kahi tanre kari namaskara yashuni digvijay kaila apana dikara. Offering my obeisances to Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, I shall try to describe that portion of the Lord's analysis which, when he heard it, made the Digvijay feel himself condemned. So there'll be some discussion about Keshav Kashmiri. At length he's going to discuss it. Okay, text 28. Jyotsnavati Ratri Prabhu Shishya Gana Sange Vasiyachen Ganga Tire Vidyara Prasange. On one full moon night, the Lord was sitting on the bank of the Ganges with his many disciples and discussing literary topics. Henakale Digvijayi Tahani Ayala Gangare Vandana Kari Prabhure Malila. Coincidentally, Keshav Kashmiri Pandit also came there. While offering his prayers to Mother Ganges, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vasayila Tari Prabhu Adara Kariya Digvijayi Kahe Mane Avigya Kariya. The Lord received him with adoration. But because Keshav Kashmiri was very proud, he talked to the Lord very inconsiderately. Which now leads us to verse 31 on the board there. Vyakarana,
Vyakarana
Padaha
Nimani
Pandita,
Pandita
Tomara
Nama
Balya
Shastre
Loke
Tomara
Kahe
Guna
Rama.
Rama.
Vyakarana padaha nimani pandita tomara nama.
Vyakarana padaha nimani pandita tomara
nama. Yes, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the rhythm is not always as, you know, tight as in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyakaran padaha nimani panditomara nama.
Vyakaran padaha nimani panditomara nama.
Balya shastre loke tomar kahe guna grama.
Balya shastre loke tomar kahe guna grama.
Vyakaran padaha nimani pandit tomar nama.
Vyakaran padaha nimani pandit tomar nama.
Balya shastre loke tomar kahe guna grama.
Balya shastre loke tomar kahe guna grama.
Vyakaran padaha nimani pandit tomar nama. Balya shastre loke tomar kahe guna grama.
Balya shastre loke tomar kahe guna grama.
Na
yadharana
grama.
Grama.
Padaha.
Padaha.
You teach.
You teach.
Nimani pandita.
Nimani pandita.
Nimai pandit.
Nimai pandit.
Tomara.
Tomara.
Your.
Nama.
Name.
Name.
Balya shastre.
Balya shastre.
In grammar which is considered a study for boys.
In grammar which is considered a study for boys.
Loke.
Loke.
The people in general.
The people in general.
Tomara.
Tomara.
Of you.
Of you.
Kahe.
Kahe.
Declare.
Declare.
Gunagrama.
Gunagrama.
Very qualified.
Very qualified.
Translation. I understand that you are a teacher of grammar, he said, and that your name is Nimai Pandit. People speak very highly of your teaching of beginner's grammar. Just such a plot. It's really, it's disgusting actually. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Formerly, Sanskrit schools first taught grammar very thoroughly, and this system continues even now. A student was supposed to study grammar carefully for 12 years in the beginning of his life, because if one is expert in the grammar of the Sanskrit language, all the shastras are open to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was famous for teaching grammar to students, and therefore Keshava Kashmiri first referred to his position as a teacher of grammar. He was very proud of his literary career. He was far above the first lessons of grammar, and so he thought the position of Nimai Pandit was not at all comparable to his own. Vyakarana padaha nimani pandita tomara nama balya shastre loke tomar kahe gunagrama. I understand that you are a teacher of grammar, he said, and that your name is Nimai Pandit. People speak very highly of your teaching of beginner's grammar. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Bhastu Tyadeshtane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vajkapa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So in certain respects, there are parallels between this story of Keshav Kashmiri and his encounter with Lord Chaitanya and what we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bali Maharaj and his dispute, or like that disagreement with Shukracharya, in certain important respects at least, that both Shukracharya and Keshav Kashmiri, in their own ways, they're very knowledgeable in their own ways. They're both, long time scholars of certain Vedic things and different aspects of certain types of Vedic knowledge, and of course many of the technicalities. Keshav Kashmiri, he was a very great scholar. In fact, he was a follower, some might say devotee, although it's not really the right term. Prabhupada, you know, sometimes devotees use terms like someone is a devotee of, we will not mention his name, but he just passed away not long ago and he had fuzzy hair. Very subtle hint. But anyway, yes, so anyway, sometimes people say that such and such someone is a devotee of him, or a devotee of this or that, or Ganesh, or some type of sort of higher level personality in religious terms. At least people considered like that. They use this term devotee. But Prabhupada, is at least one lecture I've heard of Srila Prabhupada where he explains that this term devotee cannot properly be used for worshippers or followers of anyone other than Krishna, or at least Vishnu, because devotee means someone who has devotion, and devotion by definition means selfless love, selfless desire to please and to serve the personality to whom one is devoted. And if it's a matter that we're doing certain worship or whatever some rituals and programs in order to get some favor, particularly in the material sense, favor, from whoever it is we're approaching, then this is not devotion. Just by definition, it is not devotion at all. Because devotion naturally implies that the selfless desire to please and even in a mood of love, not just being very strict or, you know, really working hard at something, but a mood of love and real affection should be there. If the activity is to be called an act of devotion, and if the person is to be called a devotee. But if we are praying to whoever it may be to get something material, then this is not devotion, it's something else. Well, actually, you may know in the purport of Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, verse 47, Srila Prabhupada goes to some lengths to address this, the difference between the word bhaj, or that it's a verbal root, bhaj, and the words which are then developed from that root, like bhajan and bhakti and bhakta. So there's a great difference between that and the English word worship. Anyway, that's just a sort of a side issue, but Keshav Kashmiri was known as a devotee, worshipper, someone like that, follower of Mother Saraswati, even to the point where he had some sort of real communion with her. It wasn't just some sort of abstract type and, you know, very low grade type of program of worship as goes on in current day demigod worship, where the people think they are worshipping a demigod and they think they're going to get something from the person, from the demigod. But the process is just, well, you could say, not bona fide. In other words, riddled with defects, and it will not actually work. Just as if you do anything in a way which is riddled with defects, any material activity, just, you know, full of mistakes and just missing the point, then obviously you're not going to be successful. So, but Keshav Kashmiri, he had a real relationship with Saraswati. And we see, well, you'll see after some weeks or whatever it will be, as you go through this particular narration, that in the end, when he is just humiliated in the extreme, then he prays to Saraswati that, why did you, how is it you let this happen to me? Because as far as I'm aware, I'm worshipping you very nicely as always, and in the past, you've always responded and given me great scholastic skills, and oh, I've been able to just run academic rings around anybody who came before me. But now this time, somehow, you withdrew your mercy and made me look like an idiot is really the only suitable term. Not just like he made a few slips, but he ended up, he was trying to show off by speaking something very sophisticated and profound. And it came out something like, well, in English we might say, double Dutch. Which may be something like Afrikaans, I don't know. Anyway, I shouldn't say it. This is what they say in English, double, if someone's speaking sort of like blah, 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 you know, they just get mixed up in the extreme, start speaking backwards, then sometimes we say, it's double Dutch, which means that Dutch is a, anyway, it means that English people are very puffed up. You didn't hear that. So yeah, sometimes they call it marbles. Yeah. So anyway, so Keshav Kashmiri, he was just speaking some like just utter. It was just rubbish. It wasn't even real words. It was just a jumble. And Lord Chaitanya's students who were there, they couldn't believe it. What happened to this man? Big scholar. And he's just speaking like a fool. Not just a few slips and errors and getting a little tongue-tied, but wow, he's just bewildered, completely bewildered. So, and then he tried again, and the same thing happened. It came out like just foolishness. So he prayed to Saraswati, that how did this happen? I'm worshipping you as usual, but now you have not given me your mercy as usual. But you have made me sound like just a complete idiot. Just total embarrassment. You know, pride comes before a fall. And he was really proud. And he really fell. Therefore, it's always good to be humble. Keep low. Because then there's less distance to fall. If somehow, something, if you get a bit off track, you won't get hurt so much. But if you get very proud and arrogant about yourself and your expertise, etc., then it will happen. Sooner or later, it will happen that you'll make some mistakes and in this way be extremely embarrassed. So this is what happened to Keshav Kashmiri, that he was praying to Saraswati like this, and Saraswati appeared to him and explained that you were trying to make a fool of my Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you just don't do that at all. And therefore I withdrew my mercy. So you go back and surrender to him. And this is basically what Keshav Kashmiri did. Although, interestingly enough, he certainly came back and surrendered to Lord Chaitanya and accepted him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became a Vaishnava. But he didn't become a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He went to the Nimbarka Sampradaya. I don't know what, why, but anyway, that's what happened. So this is the beginning of the story here, and it's going to be unfolding in different ways in detail, and there's some very, very interesting things that come up. But here we can see right at the beginning that He's got a very high opinion of himself. He's got a very high opinion of his intelligence. And so he's just trying to mock Lord Chaitanya. That you are known as Nimai Pandit. And Pandit, if someone is known actually as Pandit in a true Vedic setting, then they are highly qualified intellectually. Highly, highly qualified. So, you are Nimai Pandit. I've heard good reports of your teaching of, it's really beginner's grammar, but Balya Shastre. Balya means a little boy. That's Balya. It means a little boy. It's like Kumar, 5, 6 years old. Once you get past 6, you're no longer Balya. It's Poganda period. You know, like the beginnings of youth or something like that. No longer the child. But Balya is little boy, just little child. So what a thing to say. What a thing to say. It's terrible. And so, he is being, well, as with everyone, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 15:15, that I am within everyone's heart, and from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So everyone, whatever their knowledge is, and whatever they're able to come up with, this is being supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see, well, you will be seeing, and we're beginning to see here, what sort of intelligence Krishna is supplying him. That, yeah, that he's speaking so arrogantly. That's because his attitude is arrogant. And Krishna is supplying him in that way. And same thing we read yesterday, that Shukracharya, in his own way, in his own departments, his own fields, he was also highly qualified. And what was said in the verse yesterday was, Daiva Prahita, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, Shukracharya spoke to Bali Maharaj. And chastised him. And he must have thought, try to correct him. Get him back on the right path. Or at least a path which was suitable for Shukracharya, which was favorable to Shukracharya. Daiva Prahita. So, Bali Maharaj was being supplied a certain type of intelligence, developing certain understandings and making certain decisions, being inspired through the heart by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one way, to surrender to him. Shukracharya was also being inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the heart, but in a different way. Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sanivishto Mata Smriti Agyanam Aponamcha. It's Bhagavad Gita 15:15. So Shukracharya was being inspired in terms of his underlying consciousness, his underlying mentality, underlying desires and ideas, which, well, as we go through the Bhagavatam further, we'll see, are really at the foundation of it all, was the idea that I am your priest, and as such, I am dependent on you for my livelihood. If you go bankrupt, I become unemployed. And, you know, he probably didn't have any pension fund or something to fall back on. That means he would have been out on the street, Shukracharya, if Bali Maharaj were to actually just surrender everything to Lord Vamanadeva. So Shukracharya, because he's very expert and he knows so much about so many things, not really such Krishna conscious things, but different material things. So he was able to argue in this way and that, and in his attempt to convince Bali Maharaj that you promised, this is what Bali Maharaj was saying, that I promised. I can't refuse now. I've already promised. And Shukracharya said, well, you promised, but if a promise is not preceded by the word om, then it's not a real promise. And if you just break it, you're not really breaking a promise, you're just making another decision, changing your decision. And all sorts of creative ideas he comes up with. That, you know, anyway, you're going to read it, but in bringing women under control, it is all right to lie. Isn't that nice? That's Shukracharya. So he's just, in so many ways, getting so much inspiration. And arguing very cleverly. And surely many people, like his disciples or students, whatever you'd call them, people who were more sort of on the fence and not determined like Bali Maharaj, they would have been swayed to not follow through. But of course not Bali Maharaj. So this is a very important part of this, the description in the 8th canto, Daiva Prahita, inspired by Daiva, Prabhupada translates as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, ultimately, Daiva indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it could also just mean like some sort of spiritual inspiration, Daivi Prakriti, divine energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada gave one lecture on that, 1515. Sarasya Charamriti Sannivishto, Krishna saying, I'm in everyone's heart, I give knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Prabhupada was giving a class and a devotee asked a question, I think it was in France. Devotee asked the question that sometimes, you know, sometimes there I am, I'm practicing my Krishna consciousness and, you know, trying to do the right things. But then sometimes some idea comes into my mind of what I used to do back in the the bad old days prior to Krishna consciousness. And then I realize, oh, what am I thinking about? So if Krishna, the devotee asks Prabhupada, if Krishna is really controlling these inspirations that come to me, knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, then why is it that Krishna is sending me that? When actually, as far as I'm concerned, I'm trying to be Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada says basically to the effect that Krishna is just reminding you that see what I was and see how Krishna has saved me. See what Krishna has saved me from. And Prabhupada answers to that effect. And elsewhere, Prabhupada, talking on that subject, says that for the devotees, Krishna gives them remembrance of himself. That the devotees, if they've really been chanting nicely and reading nicely and absorbed in the kirtan and like that, all very positively engaged in Krishna consciousness, then they find Krishna conscious ideas and remembrance of Krishna and different pastimes and verses and so on just appear in the mind. And even sometimes, somehow, they may get some sort of little change of attitude and try to think of something material. But they find it's difficult to sort of get back into thinking about that material thing. They have to try. And then they get back into, sometimes it happens like that. But Krishna gives the devotees remembrance of himself. He gives the devotees knowledge, understanding of himself. I was listening yesterday in the Bhagavatam class. Kadamba Kavana Maharaj was giving such a wonderful class. And this Daiva Prahita was there in that verse, and Prabhupada referred to the principle in the purport. And I was thinking, just see how Maharaj is being inspired by Krishna. It's amazing. It's just flowing from Krishna. Not just, you know, being knowledgeable and being well-read or something like that. But it's actually coming from Krishna. Yes, so Prabhupada was saying like that, remembrance of Krishna is given by Krishna, and the devotee finds that without making an effort, let me remember Krishna. But remembrance is coming in different ways, very nicely. And understanding is coming. And Prabhupada's discussing this, and forgetfulness about material existence. It's just not there in the sort of the conscious processes at that time. But for the non-devotees, Prabhupada's saying, for the non-devotees, they get remembrance about all their whole material situation and things like that, and understanding of different material subjects that they're interested in, and of course forgetfulness of Krishna. So this is what's happening with both these people. Shukracharya, it's just pouring out of him. It's just pouring out of him. This logical rationalization. Why it's okay to break your promise and not give anything to this boy, and it's just fine. Not only is it fine, it's actually the right thing. You should do it. And he's convinced. He's being supplied like that by Krishna. And something similar with Kesha Kashmiri. I'm big authority. I am just so knowledgeable. Anybody else compared to me is just a fool, not to be taken seriously. And so he just exudes that. His presence, he just radiates that sort of mood. Because the face is the index of the mind. And it's not just the face often. The body, the whole body reflects the mind. And sometimes you see people are just very full of themselves and just very assertive, and so much body language is there expressing the inner state. So same with Kesha Kashmiri. Yes, so here, but we see that Lord Chaitanya's consciousness is completely different. Lord Chaitanya is acting as a devotee, and in front of Kesha Kashmiri, he's very humble. As the verse says here, Vasaila Tare Prabhu Adara Kariya Adara Adoration Aradhana Adara. These are coming from the same root. And Lord Chaitanya received him in a very worshipful way. Completely different mood. And you'll read how Lord Chaitanya interacts with him. Kesha Kashmiri is being very extremely assertive. And Lord Chaitanya says, actually, I am not fit to be a disciple of your disciple. And Kesha Kashmiri says, you're right. it's amazing, just completely amazing. Prabhupada, one devotee wrote to Srila Prabhupada once, and Prabhupada's response is amongst, in the letters books, the devotee wrote and asked Prabhupada that when Lord Chaitanya, it was initiated by Ishwarapuri, did he really become like a real disciple and just have that mood of the disciple and accept Ishwarapuri as his spiritual master in the classic sense, or was it just some official thing because Lord Chaitanya is God and he certainly doesn't need a spiritual master. He is the great authority of Ishwarapuri himself ultimately. And Prabhupada wrote back and said no, that Lord Chaitanya accepted Ishwarapuri wholeheartedly as his spiritual master and related to him like that. He was actually feeling like that. And Prabhupada says, you can understand that because later Lord Chaitanya spoke the third verse of Shikshastakam. What's the third verse of Shikshastakam? Once you chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, one should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly, sada, constantly, eternally, continually. And in no other state of mind will one be able to chant the holy names of the Lord constantly, or generally even very much at all. 16 rounds may be a battle, and even it may be impossible. Yeah. So Prabhupada's explaining this and saying that if Lord Chaitanya had not really accepted him as a spiritual master, he would not have been able to speak this verse. And Prabhupada says, you can only have that consciousness if you have a master. You cannot just sort of create some concept intellectually of humility like that. Yes. So Lord Chaitanya responds, and already he's just acting in the most wonderful Vaishnav way to Keshav Kashmiri, and on he will do so. And well, I mean, he does, even when he starts making a few points, he does it very nicely. Keshav Kashmiri on the spot composes and recites in Sanskrit 100 verses glorifying the Ganges and asks Lord Chaitanya, so what do you think of that? And Lord Chaitanya said, it was wonderful. It just was so wonderful. Except for the mistakes, it was wonderful. And that was sort of the beginning of the end for Keshav Kashmiri. And what mistakes? And Lord Chaitanya points out numerous, even like quite serious mistakes. And also very subtle mistakes. And then he says, actually, every verse, and that was just in one verse. He says, actually, every verse was like that. So, sure. Poor old Keshav Kashmiri. Yes, so, to be proud in Krishna consciousness, to be proud is really very, very serious defect, serious problem. Srila Prabhupada makes the point in the Krishna book, in the story of the Rasa dance, where Lord Krishna left the gopis, and even then, a little later, he left Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada makes the point that maybe they became a little proud or something like that. You know, of course, that's they're truly the greatest transcendental personalities. So, you know, whether it's really pride as we know it or something else, that's another thing. But Prabhupada says that, and Prabhupada says to the effect that Krishna can tolerate practically any shortcoming in his devotee, because coming out of material existence, there's so many hangovers and habits and attitudes and So much conditioning is there. And as Maharaj was saying yesterday, it's not that you just shave your head and now you're there. Now you're there. You've now transcended, and the past is just truly the past. You know, these things recur. So, but when a devotee is sincere, basically sincere, and really trying and really making an effort to actually be a devotee, become a devotee and practice, and not just willfully just deviate off, but trying to really follow the process. Of course, so many mistakes will be there, shortcomings must be there. And Prabhupada makes the point, Krishna can tolerate almost any shortcoming in a devotee, but he cannot tolerate pride. He really doesn't like if a devotee becomes proud of anything, particularly if we start thinking that, as Maharaj was saying yesterday, that now I'm a bit of an advanced devotee. There was a kirtan, and I felt emotional at one point, and a tear came from my eye. Wow! I must be. Isn't that a symptom of bhava? Maybe I must be on the level of bhava. Because, you know, all sorts of kind of silliness comes to the mind of neophyte devotees from time to time. I mean, let's be honest. So, I remember when we first joined, there was a group of us, the new boys, the bhaktas. There was no bhakta program. It was just sort of hang on and, sure, carry on regardless. And we're sitting down and talking about the old days and the new days, how we're doing, how is it going. And one devotee said, yeah, you know, I think I may be a pure devotee. I'm just innocent. So, because of our conditioning, there's a much greater danger that we'll think that we're better than what we are than there is a danger of us thinking that we're worse than what we are. There's not so much likelihood that we will think that we are actually more rotten than we really are, because we really are quite rotten. So Prabhupada makes that point that Krishna doesn't appreciate pride at all. And therefore humility is emphasized and stressed so much. Lower than the straw in the street. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point in his commentary on that third verse of Shikshastakam. He makes the point that the straw, what does it mean, lower than the straw in the street? What are the real implications? He says the straw just lies there. The straw doesn't try to get up. It just lies there. And people step on the straw, and the straw doesn't say, hey, what are you doing? Don't step on me. The straw just lies there. And then the next person steps on the straw. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the straw is thinking, so to speak, I'm just a straw. This is where I belong. People step on me, that's right. It's the right thing, because I'm useless. What can you do with me? At least you can step on me. that it may cushion your step slightly. But other than that, what's my use? You can burn me, but there's no, because it means grass, where, which is just dried out, and all whatever goodness is just come out. So the straw, Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, the straw has no false ego. That, you know, even they say the pauper is proud of his penny. He's bankrupt, totally poverty stricken, hopeless condition. He gets a penny and thinks, I've got a penny. I can buy a penny lollipop and enjoy life. But the straw has no false ego. He doesn't protest. He accepts it. He accepts it, that this is the right position for me. So Lord Chaitanya says, one should chant the holy names, feeling oneself lower than the straw in the street. That's pretty low. That's really pretty low. Here we are as devotees, and sometimes we may think that I'm a bit of a good devotee. I was there for Mangalarati. He wasn't. Something like that. Even sometimes we may think, yes, I am the most fallen, and become proud of it. So Lord Chaitanya, very nicely here in this incident, pastime, he's manifesting the great humility, very great humility. And you could say he's showing that if you really are humble in Krishna consciousness, Krishna really gives you inspirations through the heart. Wonderful, wonderful inspirations through the heart. Like if you listen to Prabhupada's classes and you see, Prabhupada hardly tells stories. Hardly. He tells a few stories. But it's very rare, or it's quite rare at least. It's very philosophical. Very philosophical. And even in so many cases, going over the same philosophical points just again and again and again and again and again, and just again and again, hundreds of times. But it's so inspiring to hear, because he's empowered and inspired through the heart by Krishna. You know, he doesn't have to tell a joke to keep the audience awake or something like that. Yeah. So humility in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's Uddhava and Narada Muni are instructing Gopakumar in Dwarika, and one of the two, I forget actually which one, because Krishna isn't giving me remembrance, or I've read it numerous times. One of them says, actually, dainya, which is the Sanskrit term for humility, dainya and prema are synonyms. They're two words for one thing. Although dainya means humility, prema means love, but still, you know, on a higher level, they're synonyms. Two words for one thing. Six, half a dozen. Just two words for one thing. So dainya, prema, they're the same. And to whatever degree you develop humility, to that degree you have developed, or you can develop, love prema, love for the Lord, so extremely important. And just as Krishna, Prabhupada says, Krishna cannot tolerate pride, Krishna so much appreciates real Vaishnav humility. Yeah. And, you know, in one sense, we're fortunate in that regard, because we have a lot to be humble about. If we're able to see ourselves clearly enough, we'll see, wow, I am just full of good reasons to be humble. Means I'm full of lots of nonsense and things that I just shouldn't and couldn't be proud of. Yeah. But of course the problem is being conditioned that we don't see. And therefore we're prone to have a higher opinion of ourselves than is actually correct. But if we really try to follow the process with all our sincerity and really try and chant and meditate like this, that who am I? I'm not really anyone in particular. I should just be a humble servant. Krishna will give inspiration and we can actually become humble step by step. And in that way progress, come closer to Krishna and get Krishna's mercy. So otherwise, you can always learn the hard way, following the footsteps of Keshav Kashmiri. I think you're pretty cool. And then, at least if you're sort of trying to be a devotee, Krishna will have mercy on you and you'll get smashed. The royal order of the boot. And in that way you'll finally get the idea, wow, I should have a lower profile and just try to be a servant of the servant. Hare Krishna. Shishimadai Maipo Chandra Ki. Any comments or questions? Maharaj, comments, please. Straighten us out. Any comments or questions? Anyone? Yes.
I think so. There's something funny. Once, I heard once the devotee told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. And then Prabhupada said, you are not the most of anything.
That's true. Famous story. It was one of the first stories I was told when I joined. And there's more to it. I mean, a little more. Prabhupada said, no, you're not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. And another sort of related one. Devotee was telling Prabhupada how some other devotee is just too much. You know, just, I can't handle him. He does this, he does that. He's just such a nonsense. He's too much. And Prabhupada said, oh, just try and tolerate him. He's a devotee. And the devotee said, but he's like this and he's like that and he's just too much and I can't handle him. And Prabhupada said, well, just try to tolerate him as I tolerate you. Prabhupada was the all-time expert in one-liners, you know, effective responses to people.
There's one related story.
Yes, please. Sure.
So Sarup Maharaj was saying to Srila Prabhupada that I'm nothing. Prabhupada said, you're not nothing, you're something, but you are not what you think you are.
Yeah, there's a number of stories like that with Tamal Krishna Goswami. What is it? That this in the creation of the Lord. It's so vast. In one little corner is a little cloud of matter. It's the material world. And in that little cloud, there's an unlimited number of universes. So many. And in each universe, there's so many planets, practically unlimited. And on each planet, there's so many countries and like America, like planet Earth, like America. And in America, there's a city called Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles, there's a street called Watsaka Boulevard. And there are many streets in Los Angeles, many streets. And there's this one. And on Watsaka Avenue, there are many houses and buildings. And one of them is the Hare Krishna Temple. And in the Hare Krishna Temple, there are many rooms. And in one of them is this devotee, and he thinks he's very important. Yes, Shamanandapura.
Maharaj, you were making the point of how carefully and humbly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dealt with Keshava Kashmir. Because it was the practice of these Digvijayas actually to debate in public.
Right.
A big fanfare.
Right.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged that he came to the Ganga at night when he was with his students. So he wouldn't be publicly humiliated.
That's true. Yes. It was like, you know, nowadays football or sports is such, you know, big thing, spectator sports. In those days, this was like the spectator sport. The pundits debating, and people would gather, crowds. And there would be supporters of both the pundits, and they'd be sort of rah, 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 and like that. So yeah, it's a fact, Lord Chaitanya. And even when first of all, Keshava Kashmiri composed and recited the 100 verses, and Lord Chaitanya, and very delicately, but extremely, you know, precisely, pointed out some quite bad mistakes. And then Keshava Kashmiri thought, oh, I have to assert myself again. And then he started speaking he got totally tongue-tied. And all the students are looking at him like, what happened to you? And some of them started laughing. And Lord Chaitanya stopped them. Then the second time they started laughing also, Lord Chaitanya didn't stop them so much. But yeah, so nicely, not in an aggressive way or, you know, return a good offense, return an offense with another offense. Yeah.
There's also the point that at the end of the discussion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes the point that even in the poetry of great personalities like Jayadeva Goswami and others, you know, that there are mistakes there.
Right. And Krishnadas Kaviraja, we noted that the rhythm of the first line was, if you pronounce all the syllables, was actually, you know, a little not so rhythmic in the classic poetic sense. Whereas Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, in virtually all cases, you know, there's a few prose verses, and there are a few verses which the Sanskrit, there's like an extra syllable. But Krishnadas Kaviraj, I read a discussion about it many years ago. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he didn't bother. Well, he felt he didn't have time because he was really old. But he didn't bother making it so precise, because, you know, he was extremely qualified. He could have, you know, gone over, refined the poetic elements, but he didn't bother. He just left it. Yeah. Any other comment or question? Yes.
Thank you for the enlightening class, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I just wanted a little bit of clarification. Is there a difference between, as you called it, real Vaishnava humility and self-esteem? And is there really, is humility a spiritual quality or is it a material quality? Like in the sense that you have the four regular principles are not spiritual, but they're like a stepping stone to the human platform at least, and then eventually to the divine consciousness. So I'm just trying to understand, is there a difference between humility and self-esteem, and is humility a spiritual quality or is it a material quality?
Humility basically means your response, the real response to actually seeing what you are. Yeah. You know, when you see that actually you're really a fool, the natural response is to feel humble. And, you know, like we referred to Prabhupada saying that Krishna doesn't appreciate pride. So, you know, in other words, humility, I mean, for us, you know, coming from material life, we have a lot to be humble about. We have so much, so many bad attitudes, misconceptions, and we're so proud or prone to pride and so on and so forth. But even amongst the elevated devotees who have the pure devotees, the associates of the Lord, Krishna appreciates humility amongst them. And even, you know, you get, like in the Vrindavan pastimes, the gopis sometimes, the cowherd boys often, they act in ways which externally look proud, and they even think they're greater than Krishna. But they're just special attitudes and inspirations coming from the internal potency of the Lord to enhance the pastimes and the relationships. When Prabhupada mentions, I think it's a nectar inversion, sometimes the cowherd boys say to Krishna, "What sort of big man are you?" Right? Who needs you, Krishna? And you think, boy, you know, this is very strange for a devotee. But the thing is, it doesn't mean they're actually proud at all. You know, there's a description. They have team games. Two boys are the leaders, and they take it in turns to choose. "I'll have you." The other one says, "I'll have you." And they choose everyone, but no one chooses Krishna. Then at the end, only Krishna's left. And the one leader says to the other, "Do you want Krishna?" And the other one says, "No, you can have him." And the other one says, no, "I don't need Krishna. He always loses." But Krishna is so kind to his devotees, in so many cases he lets them win. Amongst the cowherd boys, when they wrestle and run and things like that. Because of his affection for his devotees, he lets them win. And he loses. And so Krishna has a type of a reputation for being a bit of a loser amongst the cowherd boys. Sometimes, you know, not all the time, but sometimes when they're in a particular mood. But it's not a display of some type of material consciousness. Actually, they're extremely humble devotees. And you see that, like with the gopis. When Krishna left, they really, their humility, you know, their usual sort of telling Krishna off, and which they often do, it completely went away. And they were chanting, Prabhupada says, they chanted Hare Krishna. And they were praying for Krishna to come back. And they were practically like beside themselves. Yeah. So you know, in front of Krishna, when your main relationship is with Krishna, and you can see what Krishna is, or at least you have some idea what Krishna really is, really, and then you see your little person. So a feeling of humility, I'm speaking about amongst the eternal associates, it's just such a like foundational part of their consciousness in their relationship with Krishna. Krishna is so great, so just inconceivably great, and I am so, as a little person with very little qualification, I'm so fortunate to have the service, to be accepted as a servant. So in that sense, humility is very spiritual. Of course, there is material humility, but it's often, well, it's always contaminated. It's always contaminated. And when it becomes really strong, when a person is materially smashed and they just lost everything and just, you know, their lives are just total disasters and they're in a sort of hopeless condition, then they really become materially humble. But because of the contamination of material nature, they then become defeatist. I'm so useless. I'm just too useless. So maybe I'll commit suicide. Maybe I'll just take shelter of intoxication. Or sometimes they go crazy. They become so just affected by their materially hopeless situation, the mind cannot take it, the mind goes out of control, and they become insane. Whereas a devotee, you know, like Keshav Kashmir, it's about to happen to him, he's going to get smashed, actually. And, you know, particularly relative to what he thinks he is, he's really going to get smashed. But the devotee then takes shelter. And the devotee remains optimistic in the sense that even though I am so useless, I am too useless actually, but Krishna is so merciful, Krishna is so wonderful, that if I really take shelter of him, then even some useless person like me, I can be used as an instrument by the Lord, and I may be able to do good things by his grace. It's like that. I think we should finish. Oh, you want to say something?
One little question.
Okay.
It is said that you know, the more one knows, the more he realizes how little he knows. So kind of following in that vein, is there a point that one comes to in his progress in Krishna consciousness when it comes to understand, I know nothing?
I don't know. But, you know, from what we read, it appears that some devotees, they basically feel like that. That if I appear to know something, it's just because Krishna has supplied me the knowledge. Yeah, like Krishnadas Kaviraj, in a few places in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he expresses himself basically like that. That I'm just, well, like Sanatana Goswami, at the end of the Madhyalila, he's discussing with Lord Chaitanya, or no, sorry, Ramananda Roy is instructing Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is questioning him. And Ramananda Roy says, I don't know these things. You're asking of me about things I don't know about. But you're putting the words in my mouth. And so he was carrying on. So it would appear that a phenomenon like that occurs, certainly. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.